All right. Luke 8. Verse 25. Did you get that?
Yes, thank you.
I don't know if it's, I didn't read it, but it. This is when Jesus quieted the storm. And then he was rebuking them. And in verse 25, he said, "Unto them, where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him." Afraid is just, we spent much time on faith. Where is your faith? Can anybody answer that?
I think he was chiding them.
Chiding is would put, be putting it lightly.
Yeah, like he knew they didn't have faith.
No. I mean, it's he's doing the same thing to you and I. Where's your faith?
It's been with me so long.
All right. Afraid is phobia. It's just the normal word. Wondered is thaumazo, which means to be marveled. But obey is hypokeo, means to hearken and do, or and listen and attend to. We're going to spend a few minutes on obey. You know, for years we've used this analogy that of what obedience is. If God came into the room and you knew it was God, and he said, "Go kick Jeff in the shins," and you knew it was God, you might argue with him a little bit, but you would finally go kick him.
Or what?
Hmm?
Or what?
No.
Somebody else.
Somebody else. Kicking Jeff in the shin.
It's hard to kick yourself in the shin.
But he's got, that's not obedience from the scriptural standpoint. Obedience is to be, have been with him so much that you know his heart and you do what he wants you to do without him telling you. That's obedience. Now, how do you do that? How do you do that? One way and one way only, repentance. If you don't feel, if you've left that first love, that presence, that sense of presence, the only way to return to it isn't prayer even. It isn't all kinds of exercises and reading. It's repentance. That's the way you return to his presence, to your first love. Now, as the longer you spend with this, as in this presence, and the more your mind is renewed, then you will know what he wants without him telling you. And that's obedience from the scriptural standpoint. Now, in, remember in the Old Testament, just about every time it talks about obey, it says to hear under. So no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the test, no matter what the temptation, no matter what the pain, you hear under those circumstances. Amen? Now, let's look at some of them.
One thing that you remain under and continue in that place. I think a lot of people hear it and say, "Oh, God wants me to do this," and so then they start their evangelistic association based on a one hearing of God.
Yeah, I mean those things are just
so repentance then is continuance.
Yeah, it's the way of life, yeah. Just like humility and all the other things.
Yeah.
But that's really important, what we studied last night. Let's go there a minute. Hebrews 10. Let's just start in verse 1. Well, let's start in verse 10, 9:27. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that, this, the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast not had pleasure, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Now, what does that mean? Just as for him, when he said, a body hath been prepared for me, so he's saying that to you. A body, your body, has been prepared for him. And it's appointed to do one thing and one thing only, his will. But his will never be what you think it is. The only way you can know his will is by this nearness to him, this emptiness. Amen? All right, back to Luke. Well, we're going to study obey, some words for obey, our experiences or whatever.
That, you know, that Hebrews thing goes back to the idea that the whole law was, you know, wrapped up in all those sacrifices were all pointing,
you know, all with
to
him.
His one completion of everything that God wanted to do anyway. So,
amen.
You know, that's the only way to do his will is to get out of the way where you don't have an image.
Remember, you don't deny Christ by saying he exists. He doesn't exist. You deny Christ by saying you exist. And that's such a simple predicate. But if you deny, you can't, by denying you exist, obviously you can pay no attention to you. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. The government is on his shoulders, no longer on yours. All right. So let's look at obey. We're examples for it. This is obedience with regard to God. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5. Let's start in verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason thereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Now, the thing that you have to hear is, although he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Now, how can that be? He who created all things were made by him and for him, and by him all things consist. And yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Now, what does that have to do with repentance? Everything. Because the first order that happens, whenever you are suffering for anything, whether it's depression, whether it's financial, whether it's anything, you don't ever say this, but by your thoughts and actions you say, instead of seeing that you're learning obedience, you say, God has forsaken this earth. I have to lean on my own arm of understanding. Everybody understand that? Yet, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Now, suffering, there's no suffering greater than the suffering of one who wants to believe but can't. And yet, that has to, too, also be repented of. You see, obedience can comes only by repentance in all things, so that you never, ever, ever even enters your mind by your thoughts or your actions that God has forsaken the earth, and I have to take this life back. Now, you're going to do it. You may not use those words, but something will happen in your life and you are convinced it's obvious to anyone else by your thoughts and your words and your actions that you believe that God has forsaken the earth. And the minute that happens, then Jezaniah becomes your God, the God of this world, the Antichrist, you. So obedience has to do with remaining under. Amen? Yeah. It's either that, or you're just play acting. This is just a philosophy. It's in competition with other philosophies. You're trying to make the theology of the cross the theology of glory. Can't happen.
To me, it's like everything in the world's trying to produce a separation between you and God, and those are the points of repentance. And pain is a real good one. You know, that's when you're really trying to God is separate himself from you.
It's amazing how the prophets used that God has forsaken the earth. As, you know, it's like this is what people say all the way through there.
Amen.
It's amazing. It's like a universal.
All right, let's look at another one. Let's look at Hebrews 11, what we studied the other day. I'm talking about the perfect Christian, Abraham. By faith, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, he obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. The moment you know where you're going, then it's no longer faith. It's idolatry. And same as the minute you know what you're going to do, it's no longer faith. It's idolatry. Yeah, it's great. All right, let's look at, well, here we just saw how nature itself was obedient to God, the winds and the waves and everything else. But then, and we saw when we studied earlier, how the evil spirits were obeying him. In fact, an evil spirit was the first one that recognized that he was the Christ. So, but let's look at the obedience to the disciples. Let's look at Luke 17. We've been spending a lot of time in Luke 17 lately. Must be something there. Now Jesus is saying, and this is what we're about to read, that even nature can be subject to you. Verse 6, we'll just use that one verse. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamore tree, this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Elijah controlled the rain. Prayed that it wouldn't rain. Didn't rain. Prayed that it would rain. It rained. That's why faith is this incredible thing. I used to say, I haven't said it in a long time, maybe I've said it, but that one person fully yielded to the Spirit of God is the most powerful force in the universe. Your faith, your emptiness, alters your environment. Without you doing anything. All right. Let's look at Philemon. Anybody find Philemon? I can't believe it. We've gone to Philemon for a lot of time. Just before Hebrews. Huh?
After all the T's.
Please go back to the T's.
After the T's.
After the General Electric Power Company. Big T's, little T. Philemon. Hebrews. James. Peter. Anyway, you want to win a drill, have a Bible sword drill with me? I've never even heard that phrase except from Baptists.
Yeah, Baptists.
The Baptists Bibles, always did that.
The sword drill. Get your
goat. No, I don't want to go to Philemon. I want to go to Philippians. I looked at my notes wrong. Philippians.
Pat Robertson's Baptist.
See, that's how heresies get started. You think you're in.
I put PHI and I thought it was Philemon.
That's where abbreviations can get you in trouble.
Yeah.
It just did.
Philippians what?
Philemon chapter.
No, Philippians.
I mean, Philippians chapter 2.
You're confused listening audience.
He's confused now.
Where did we end up?
Philippians chapter 2.
Why does Gary have a short sleeve shirt?
Because he's so cold.
I have a long john.
Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being isn't the text, but who in the form of God thought it not robbery or something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, or emptied himself, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So there's something about obedience to the apostles. As you have always obeyed, now in my presence, now obey in my absence. Now let's look at one more. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 3. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But you, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So again, there's something about obedience to the apostles. All right? Now let's just look at, there's obedience just to this, just obedience to faith. Let's go to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. This is that famous time when they... Oh, let's just read it. And in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed and laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. So we've seen obedience to God, obedience to Christ, obedience to the disciples. Now we've seen obedience to the faith. It's all the same thing, but... All right? Everybody have a little bit of handle on obedience?
That's interesting about the guy Nicholas from Antioch, because it's like he probably went back there.
He became, that became, the, yeah. You know, that's when they received the instructions to flee Jerusalem. And many of them fled to Antioch, and that became the head city of Christians. Anyhow, obedience is a good thing. Now, you believe numbers, sometimes doubt is the commandment of God. If you have more than one option, you do nothing. You wait. Now that's, for most people, that's impossible even to consider. We're going to put that down here. Huh?
That's a whole other subject of obedience.
Yeah, we're going to put that right here.
Well, what's the Greek? This is like, it's sort of a here under thing too, isn't it? It's you're talking about the word for obedience in the Greek.
Yeah.
It means that's an under word.
Right.
And I wonder what the other one is.
Yeah, hearken.
Under. Attend to.
All right. Anybody have anything else? Take a big guy.
The Buckners are not believing us.